Welcome to the Life Talk Show, sharing ideas for meaning, joy, and success with Randy Kay, Diana Hall, and Nikki Tombolides. Our mission is to initiate conversations that enrich and empower your life. And now, today's Life Talk Show. Well, thank you for listening to the Life Talk Show and tuning in today. We are sharing ideas for meaning, joy, and success, and our mission, as you heard in the introduction, is conversations to enrich and empower your life. We are so excited about today's show because we're going to be talking about something we all do, but maybe we don't do it well. It's called breathing, and specifically, it's about the keys to a better sleep and a more mindful and fulfilling life. I am here, as again you heard in the introduction, with my pals Nikki Tombolides and Diana Hall. And I will share with you guys that, hello, by the way.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I will share with you guys that I, on a whim, because I do everything on a whim, is I took a class in yoga for grade school children because I heard you talking about yoga with our guests before, Nikki. And
interesting.
You've gone to Kripalu to have a whole thing. I've never gone. But I thought I could learn a little bit about yoga, so I'll do what kindergartners do. So I took this class in yoga, and there was so much about breathing that it really inspired me to want to do this show. So let me ask you guys, and whoever wants to go first, what's the role in your life currently of your stress level, and what do you think breathing has to do with it?
Well, high. The stress is high. Let's put it this way. Yesterday, to give you an idea, I couldn't find my toothbrush, and I found it downstairs in the fridge. So who would do that? But, you know, and breathing is something, unless you have a serious underlying health condition, you don't take it.
We don't think about it.
We take it for granted. Let's put it this way.
Okay, well, we have a lot to learn today from our guest. Diana?
So as I've shared many times, I'm yogi, so it's all about the breath. And in class, a lot of my teachers will say, if you do nothing else, breathe. So I've learned so much about breath, and I try to practice it regularly. And today, perfect example, driving to the show, I've had a lot of stress in my life lately, so I can feel when it starts to build up, and I was feeling like my heart was pounding, and I started to breathe. And, you know, breathing, and we call it, you know, ujjayi breathing. So it's the sound of like an ocean sound when you're doing that breathing correctly. So I do a lot of that when I'm feeling stressed, anxious at night when I can't sleep. I start my ujjayi breath, and it just tends to help.
And it helps.
So you are aware of your breathing.
Absolutely.
Which is great. I will share that in the elementary school workshop, they had different names. They called them like bunny breath. And
love that.
It's a more interesting one.
Yeah. Let's bring in. So you guys are more of an expert on this than I am. I am woefully ignorant, which is a great place to be for asking questions. So we have two very exciting guests today. Our expert guests are Tara Clancy, otherwise known as O2 Tara for oxygen, and Jennifer Rodriguez. They're both teachers and specialists on the subjects of meditation, stress, and breathing. And they're here to help answer all our questions on the subject and how better breathing can help your sleep and bring you closer to a more mindful and fulfilling life. So, you know, they're both here, but Tara, we're going to start with you just because we decided to. So I will share with you that when I first met you, I know that we met and had a whole discussion about breathing, and it opened my eyes to something I had never heard of before. I had tried a few yoga classes and learned about breathing, but I never thought about breathing while you sleep. I happen to be married to an open mouth breather, only when he's on his back, not on his side. But in talking to you, I know there's a lot more to it than that. So why don't you just start out by telling us what you do, what your mission is, and why?
Sure. Thanks for having me, first off. So my big thing is when we think about, like you just mentioned, about your spouse breathing through his mouth at night and all other kinds of breathing problems that come up at night, like sleep apnea, I'm sure, you know, everyone has heard of that. What we really need to think about is any kind of breathing trouble that happens at night is really an outgrowth of the breathing that we do during the day. Because what you're doing for two-thirds of the day is breathing. You're not thinking about it for most people. It's in the background.
I hope we're breathing for more than two-thirds of the
day. Well, no. What I'm saying, though, is you're breathing for two-thirds of the day in whatever way you breathe. And so then when you go to sleep at night, those habits are going to follow you.
Oh, I see. Okay, awake breathing.
But there's more complication at night for reasons we can get into. But really, your daytime breathing is what determines how your sleep is going to be.
Huh, that's interesting.
Right. It sure is.
So if you're more aware or practicing better breathing while you're awake, it will automatically help your sleep breathing?
Yeah, and in particular, if you're not over-breathing during the day, you will do better at night. Now, people always say, over-breathing.
Yeah, what's over-breathing?
And particularly since both of you mentioned the yoga angle, we know deep breathing is essential for the health of the body, right?
Absolutely.
We need oxygenate our tissues, and we need to fully move all the parts of our lungs in order to be healthy. But if we are over-breathing during the daytime, we are actually not in a position to want to breathe deeply. So what do I mean by over-breathing? The biggest thing that we do is breathing through our mouths.
Even during the day?
Well, yeah. You know,
like when we're talking?
In terms of over-breathing, the thing that we do is we breathe through our mouths. And just picture the size of your nostrils compared to the size of your mouth. You can take in a tremendous amount more of oxygen in your mouth than you can through your nostrils. And so as soon as you start breathing in through your mouth, you are over-breathing. And that has a bunch of problems that it creates, but one of the biggest ones is it creates congestion in your nose. And so when you have that congestion then, if you chronically overbreathe, you can end up unable to breathe through your nose. So you end up being a chronic mouth breather. Now, that's not the case for a lot of people. A lot of people, Randy, like you just mentioned, we have to breathe through our mouths sometimes because simply when we're talking, we cannot take the time to take in a slow breath through the nose and still have a continuous stream of conversation. Just like I'm doing right now, I'm absolutely mouth breathing to maintain this flow of conversation.
Sure.
But what it really does is, like I said, it can create congestion. It also does other things. Air that's coming in through the nose is warmed, it's moistened, it's filtered, so when it arrives at the back of the throat and farther down, it's in the best state that it can be.
So what you're saying, Tara, is you best work through your nose?
Absolutely, right, because when we don't breathe through the nose, we breathe in too much, like we were just saying about the size difference, and the air comes in cold, comes in dry, and it comes in...
Fascinating.
Not filtered.
It just makes so much sense to me the way you just put it. My husband, as like you were saying, Randy, he snores at night and breathes and in constant, and he's on the phone all day long at work. So it's all making sense to me because he does that all day. He's probably taking in a lot of oxygen through his mouth, right? Am I saying that correctly? And then at night, because he's congested, because he's not taking in through his nose.
Right. And then the other thing that happens as well, because that air comes in dry and it comes in cold and it comes in unfiltered through the mouth, it really irritates the lining in the throat.
And when you irritate the lining in the throat, you get inflammation.
Sure.
So then why is it such a big problem at night? Well, because when we go to sleep, our muscles relax. And that airway, which is, it's only a certain amount of space, if the muscles then relax, it gets smaller. And if you've been breathing all day and inflamed all that tissue to begin with, it's a much smaller space on top of all of that. So that's why you end up with snoring. And snoring is a problem. First of all, it's waking you up, right?
Absolutely. And that's a big problem.
That's a big problem.
ask my husband at 3 a.m. when he wakes me up. Snoring.
What we know now is that people who snore are on their way to developing sleep apnea at some point, because snoring means that there's a disruption of airflow to the brain. The air is getting disrupted as it's going in,
And that will continue to worsen until the point where you have the true cessations of breathing that you get in clinical sleep
and
apnea.
My understanding is some people, they have an issue with the, if they snore, that their sleep is interrupted.
That's exactly it. That's the, and that you hit the key, the nail right on the head there, Nikki. That is the true problem with nighttime breathing problems, because they disrupt your sleep. Pretty much you get, what you need to do is get into the deep phase of sleep, and you need to stay there so that your brain can do its housekeeping, because at night your brain literally shrinks in size and all this great cerebrospinal fluid gets washed through the brain and kind of cleans out all those nooks and crannies and all that good stuff. And if that happens as it's supposed to, you wake up feeling refreshed. But if you keep getting pulled up out of that deep phase of sleep, then that you cannot get that housekeeping done, and you wake up in the morning tired, reaching for a cup of coffee, complaining to your spouse, you know, whatever it is.
Cranky.
Tara, can you repeat what you just said? The brain physically shrinks in size at night.
Absolutely. That literally happens. Our brains decrease in size. And there's a fluid from what's called the glymphatic system. We've all heard of the lymphatic system, but there's another system called the glymphatic system. And that is where the fluid comes from to literally wash out the brain. And what's really interesting is we know now, in terms of research, the relationship between, I call them nighttime breathing problems, that include sleep apnea and right down to snoring. We know the relationship, excuse me, the relationship between nighttime breathing problems and cognitive impairment and even Alzheimer's. Because what in Alzheimer's, what is it? You're building up plaque on the brain, right? The amyloid beta and all that.
Yep.
If your brain is not getting flushed out every night in this deep phase of sleep, those plaques don't get washed away. And so that is the link.
My goodness.
Wow, this is really interesting. And it's a good time for me to mention that we want to emphasize to you, our listener, that, you know, we none of us are medical doctors, although these women have great credentials, which I will share with you in a moment, but we're not medical doctors. So if you have any serious breathing or sleep disorder, you need to contact your physician. That said, Tara Clancy does have her master's degree, and she's a certified educator and breathing specialist. And what she does for a living, as you can hear, is help people develop healthy breathing habits so they can look better, feel better, and do better. And as I mentioned, the creator of the popular OT Tara Guides Health series, and the book will be released on the subject of how to breathe better very soon. Meanwhile, you can follow her on o2tara.org. I just learn something from you. When I'm not here, I do voiceovers and I narrate audiobooks. And I notice when I'm doing, when I'm doing commercials, I have no sinus or breathing problems, because most commercials are short sentences or anything that's written conversationally, if I'm doing the news on the radio or whatever. But I'm currently reading a book that's very academic in nature. There are 40-word sentences. It's academically written, so a sentence can be a whole paragraph. And my sinuses are constantly clogged. And I thought, what is wrong? And it's probably because the sentences are so long, I'm having to breathe through my nose, and that's creating through my mouth. Thank you. I'm having to breathe through my mouth to get to the end of the sentence. And so that's probably why I have to, luckily you can edit out snorting and other things like that. So, okay, we have about 4 minutes before we take a little break, but let's take that time to introduce our other guest and just do an introduction. And when we come back, we'll grill you, Jen. So our next guest is a trained therapist, a certified coach, a certified yoga and meditation teacher, a workshop facilitator and teacher. And she is the founder of a business called The Fulfilling Life, LLC. And her mission is to inspire and guide and support others to create a deep, rich, and meaningful life using mindfulness tools and compassion, which I love, to navigate life's challenges while allowing you to live that fulfilling life that's free of regret. And her website is thefulfillinglife.com. And when you're on there, you can get a download called Be Mindful, but you can tell us more about that. So Jen, you know, we're talking about everything, but right now we're on breathing. Do you want to sort of introduce your life's work to us and what brought you into it before we take a break?
Sure. So I started actually as a yoga teacher, gosh, back in 2001. I've been doing yoga since I was 18 years old.
Oh, wow.
And on and off. Not perfect practice for sure. And then, you know, I went into therapy, and most recently I've been really interested in mindfulness and meditation, mm-hmm. and how it changes the brain and, you know, helps health issues and all kinds of things, including sleep issues. So, that's what I'm all about.
Okay, yeah. That's fantastic. We are going to take a short break. If you're listening to this on a podcast, you'll hear music for a few seconds. If you're listening to this on the radio, then you'll hear some lovely messages from our sponsors. But we will be right back in a jiffy to talk more with Jen and Tara about breathing and mindfulness and a fulfilling life. This is The Life Talk Show. Welcome back to the Life Talk Show with conversations to enrich and empower your life. I'm Randy Kay with Nikki Tombolides and Diana Hall. And our guests today are Tara Clancy and Jennifer Rodriguez. We are talking about breathing and mindfulness and leading a more fulfilling life and keys to a better sleep and a more mindful and fulfilling life. A fantastic topic. So Jen and Tara, we invited you here together. You do different but related things. So I'd like to know what you guys feel is the biggest overlap in the work that you do. What do you have in common in your practices and what you teach?
I think that the biggest overlap is probably around awareness, and cultivating awareness through mindfulness allows you to kind of notice how you're feeling through the day. So through awareness, you might notice during the day that you're really feeling quite tired, or you might notice that you're a bit moody, snapping on people around you.
Happens a lot.
Anyone notice that? And, you know, these things are really important because it might clue you in. Hey, what's going on? I feel tired all the time. Or I'm moody and I'm snapping quite a bit. Or you may possibly have some trouble focusing in on the work that you're doing. And all of these things really relate to having a fulfilling life, because of course, if you're going around snapping on your spouse or your kids or your you know, coworkers, that's going to affect your relationships and ultimately your life. And the same with being aware of your physical presence, how you feel. If you're walking around exhausted, having trouble focusing, then that's not a very fulfilling life.
It will affect you
life.
In many ways.
It affects you in many lives. It affects you, you know, emotionally too. You may be a little more emotionally sensitive and things like that. So,
right. And if we're not aware of it, how can we change it?
Exactly.
So all change begins with awareness.
Yeah.
Tara, same topic, same question.
Yeah, so, and absolutely, as Jen was saying, building this awareness. So we talked a lot about mouth breathing. We talked a lot about mouth breathing before. And so you really need to build an awareness of what your breathing habits are. And if you find yourself, oh, there I go, I'm breathing through my mouth again, or, you know, then you have to adjust that and really you know, build the awareness, because once you have that awareness, that's when you can then begin to, you know, correct that that problem and stop the overbreathing, essentially.
I just noticed that all three of us, the hosts of the Life Talk Show, our mouths are shut.
First time ever.
Right. While Tara's talking.
That's really funny that you say that, Nikki. When I give a talk on this, and I always get to the point of mouth breathing, invariably you'll see 20 people in the audience like clam their mouth shut, you know. But it is such a prevalent problem, and I guarantee you now, when you walk out on the street, you'll start looking at people in a different way to say, oh, I do see that open mouth over there, and that person is breathing through their mouth too, you know? Even my daughter, who's 10 now, she'll very quietly, like, elbow me when we're sitting. She'll be like, Mama, he's a mouth breather, you know? But it's like, once you see it, you can't not see it anymore, and that's the whole awareness piece that we were talking about, yeah. Because then when you start to see it in other people, that means you're thinking about it, and then you're going to turn that to yourself too to be able to correct that habit.
So, okay. Tara, now there is a test that you have came up with called Diagnostic Snapshot, a quiz for adults that we can all take right now, and our listeners can take also at home. Or in the car.
So is there a longer version of this on your website, but this is a snapshot?
Correct. I have several quizzes on the website, and sometimes people are sort of saying, hey, does this apply to me? I don't know. And if you're on the fence of whether you're interested, do you want to sit down and take a 20-item quiz? No. So I created this shorter one.
So true, right.
Yeah. So I created this shorter one to just start to give people an idea of, wow, maybe this is something I should look into more. So
And just say the website again in case someone just joined us.
Yeah, sure. It's o2tara.org, and it's the letter O, not the number, just like in oxygen. Right. So, yeah, on o2tara.org, you'll see quiz, and you can go for the different ages, quizzes for each age. So the first question is really, is your mouth open as you read this question? Because you may not be aware of it, and all of a sudden you say, oh, it is. And so you'll hit yes on that. And it really goes with what we've talked about already. Open mouth means that, you know, disruption of the gases, the balance
it
of the
is
oxygen.
Now.
Yeah,
I know, right?
Our mouths are clamped shut. Okay.
Yes. So that's the first question. Then the second one is, can you hear your breathing when you breathe through your nose? That's a really
Should
important
we try
one. Yeah, we can. I always rate it as a 0, a 1, or a 2. And what I would ask you to do is put your finger over your left nostril and just gently, regular breath in through the right nostril and regular breath out. And if you hear nothing, then you're a 2. That's great. If you can hear something, the air moving, you're a 1. And if you have absolutely no air movement at all, that would be a 0.
Which is can't be good.
Yes, exactly. And then you can try it. Your readers can. Your listeners.
I'm definitely
can do
a 1.
On the other
me
side.
Too. Me too.
So, and what's the challenge with that? Well, that's the whole idea that when you go to bed at night, then it's harder for you to move air through the nostrils, and there's a whole pressure phenomenon that happens when you're sleeping. Mm-hmm. And so, if it's a smaller opening, you are more likely to have collapse of the airway just because of the way physics work and whatever. Mm-hmm. Let's leave it at that. So you do not want to hear your air movement, your air moving, because when you don't hear it, it tells you the passages are as open as they can be.
Great.
And then the
third question?
Do you have crowded teeth? Now, people always wonder about that. And what does that exactly mean? Well, is there any overlap in your teeth, either on the top or bottom? Or did you have teeth pulled as a kid and got braces, and so now your teeth line up perfectly, but you did have crowded teeth before? If your answer to that question is yes, it means that you are a likely candidate for a nighttime breathing problem. And here's why. Because when we have crowded teeth, or when we've had teeth pulled, it means that the space where our tongue should fit is really too small. And so instead of the tongue being able to sit properly, it has to go back a little bit into the airway.
Wow.
And so what happened to me as a kid, I had a lot of teeth pulled, and they did work, and I had a great smile, and I can tell you how many smiles I got on that, compliments I got on that smile, but it was killing me because my tongue had to sit so far back. So then at night when I went to sleep and the muscles relaxed, the tongue was in the airway already. There really was no space, and so therefore I dealt with nighttime breathing problems because of that.
So all those palate expanders and my kids, it was good.
Well,
I expanded their palate. No.
Interestingly enough, palate expanders, no. Typical palate expanders
expand way wider.
Side that give you the lateral. What we really need is the front, going to the front.
So if you had, Tara, I have to ask this question. So if you had pulled If your teeth,
we're talking front teeth,
right?
any teeth
that you pull, it's not good.
Exactly. I just actually talked,
including wisdom teeth.
Yes, because here's the
too
thing.
Late.
Oh wow!
Right. Yes,
and I pulled a tooth, so I have a problem.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, it depends on how your airway developed to begin with. Like, I look at your facial shape. You have a good facial shape. It looks like you had good growth. We want our faces to grow forward so that the airway gets bigger, right? When your jaw and your face is growing forward, there's going to be more space. It's what I call a face with O2 space. Right? But for a lot of reasons, our faces are not growing forward anymore. They're growing downward. And
yeah, that's
so
me.
It's not old
We're
age.
Old age. I'm sorry.
I don't think that's what she means.
That's for another day.
That's a different guest.
I'm getting
on
old.
On another day. Okay.
Yeah. And so what happens then, you don't have as large an airway when your face grows downward as you would if your face grew outward. And so when you sleep and the muscles relax, if you start out with a smaller airway, you're going to be in more trouble. I like to think of it as like a piece of manigotti pasta compared to a piece of penne. If you're lucky enough to have an airway the size of a manigotti, then when the muscles relax, you're going to be okay because you've got a really big opening in there. But if you've got that penne size opening and then your muscles relax, you're going to have airflow disruption.
Very interesting. And for the non-Italian speaking people,
right.
Go to the supermarket.
Manicotti is what the uninitiated call it. So you think of stuffed manigotto.
I was going to say manigotti.
It's wide. It's about an inch and a half in diameter, whereas, you know, ziti is the penne's, or, you know, the maybe a half an inch or something. So very good. All right. Wow. So that's our quiz.
And Jen?
So you have a question to ask Jen.
I do. Oh, yes. So Jen, so you say committing to a healthier lifestyle involves mindfulness. We're talking about mindfulness and awareness, or vice versa. Meditation, self-compassion. Can you elaborate on that for us?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, related to what Tara is talking about, mm-hmm. mindfulness practices help sleep at night. They help you to feel less fatigued during the day and to have better sleep at night. So I'll talk about that a little bit, because mindfulness itself doesn't actually have much to do with breathing. It has more to do with awareness. So I'm just going to give you a quick definition
okay.
of mindfulness, because it's a word that's thrown around out there a lot.
It sure is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
so much.
It does get somewhat confusing as to what exactly it is. So Jon Kabat-Zinn describes mindfulness as paying attention in a particular way, on purpose, in the present moment, and non-judgmentally.
Perfect definition, I would say.
Yeah. So, but there is a way to cultivate mindfulness. So there's two things. There's a way to cultivate more mindfulness in your life, and there is being more mindful in your everyday.
Okay.
They're kind of two different things, right? So being more mindful in your life every day is being able to be more in the present moment. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes we're like in the past or in the future.
That's
so
right.
I'll give you an example. When you're talking to someone, has anyone ever kind of zoned out when they were talking to someone?
Yeah, you're planning the thing you're going to say.
Perfect example, Randy. You're planning what you're going to say. So you're not present.
You're not listening.
You're not mindfully listening
right,
to the person
exactly.
in front of you. You're planning the future. And you're in your own brain in this other story, mm-hmm. which has nothing to do with what's going on right in front of you. And so mindfulness is really paying attention to what's going on in the moment right in front of you. And this is how, you know, related back to Tara, it can help you to figure out whether you might have some sleep problems at night, because you're thinking, gosh, here I am again, tired again, you know, the fifth, sixth, seventh day in a row, pushing myself through. Here I am snapping again. And you kind of, in mindfulness, it's like you're a fly on the wall.
Right. It's like that observer, I think
yes,
they call it,
the observer. So we all have this part mm-hmm. of us that it has an awareness of, like, we're all aware that we're here in this room doing this thing. And so if you imagine like a fly on the wall watching, it's being aware of yourself in your life. So you're starting to separate and say, I'm really getting snappy to the people around me that I love. And I'm noticing the reaction in my child or my husband.
And see how neutral, that language is very neutral, because I don't hear any judgment. I notice, noticing,
exactly.
I'm aware that is
right.
Very different. And I have this book I've been working on forever and eventually will do, Happier Made Simple. And I have catchphrases, and one of them is "Be here now." It's just, and I think, you know, being mindful 24/7 is, and I didn't make it up. I got it from somewhere, like all good self-development things, and we make it our own. But I think mindfulness and being in the present 24/7, 60 seconds every minute, that's not about that. It's about bringing yourself back when you notice you're not doing it without that judgment. So it's language like, oh, there I am doing that thing where I am trying to, you know, like I have a bad habit of making a point over and over again, as if you didn't get it the first time. And so I know it's a bad habit that I have. And so if I catch myself doing it, if I use language like, oh, there I am again, repeating the point, and then I can go, isn't that interesting, without judging it.
Yeah,
and then once you're aware, you don't keep doing it mindlessly.
Yeah, I think awareness is so key in everything.
You know, but the thing is too, and I'm wondering, because with yoga, perfect example of mindfulness and being in the present, it takes practice. It's so hard to do. It's so hard not to look in the past. It's so hard not to think about the future, and it's so hard to be in the moment and not be judgmental. It takes so much practice. I mean, do you have any simple tip?
Well, mindfulness is something that's cultivated.
Okay.
So it's intentional.
Give us a quick fix, John.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for.
We're here for quick fixes.
Yeah, please.
So there's no, I'll say that there's no quick fix for
her. Oh, darn.
but, you know, it has to do with the practices. So when you start to use meditation on a daily basis, in mindfulness, in the mindfulness-based stress reduction program, there's something called the body scan that's very nice. And that's a practice that you can use daily, very relaxing, to stay present. So you're scanning the body. You're noticing what's going on with your toes and your ankles. Mm-hmm. And then your mind starts to trail off, as it does, because we could never stop our minds from thinking.
Monkey mind.
It's not
that's
about
so
that.
True.
And
okay.
I think so.
So what is it about?
So it's about just gently, non-judgmentally bringing yourself back. Oh, I'm now on my knees. What happened to
where
my
was
shins?
I? Okay.
Or I'm already up to my hips. I missed all of my legs. But non-judgmentally, really. And having, you know, just noticing that you drifted and now you're back. Okay. And so the body scan is a way to kind of anchor you to coming back to the present moment. And there's other ways and other things that you can use as anchors. There's a breath meditation where you use your breath, your breathing, as an anchor. So you just notice it. You don't change it in any way. You're not controlling it and you're not judging it.
Mm-hmm.
You're just noticing how it feels. And then when your mind strays, you realize and you gently bring yourself back.
I have a question that isn't on the list because it's just, you've been doing this how many years, Jen? Mindfulness.
Okay, so I, like I said, I started doing yoga when I was 18 years old. So.
Give us your age.
I'm gonna, many years. Let's just say that.
I'm comparing it to social media and devices. That's where I'm going with this. So, so my question. Mm-hmm. So you're certainly over 18, and you're both moms, right? You're both moms.
Yes.
And after the break, I actually want to talk about what you do for a living and how it affects your children. So that we'll save that because you know, it would be how nice. I have three grandchildren, and Nikki has people she mentors in her life, so she's a parent in that way. And Nikki has two grown kids, grown-ish, you know, empty nesting
in their
at
own
the moment.
Minds.
And but I'm fortunate enough right now to have a 3-year-old, a 1.5-year-old, and an 8-month-old in my life, and so I can try these things out on them. Like they know to breathe in through their nose and out through their mouth if they're feeling stressed. So I will want to ask you after the break about training our children to be more mindful. But my little question before that is, do you find that for both of you, your work is harder, the coaching is more difficult because of smartphones? Like, you may have noticed we were talking, my smartphone
Fabulous
lit up
question.
And I just
right.
turned it face yes, down sure. yeah. because I didn't want to not be mindful. And even that little flash of light was, it takes away your mindfulness. And
yes,
so
absolutely.
It is... Are the techniques that you use, it sounds like, Tara, what you've spoken about today is more physical and less emotional, and yet I'm sure it's connected. Do you find that it's harder for people to be mindful these days?
With the phones, yes.
Yeah, with phones.
So
yeah.
I will say, just for my coaching practice, when I do a one-on-one session, for instance, I'll go up to my office a half hour beforehand, and I'll do my own little meditation and some breathing and take my time to look at the chart and get present so that I can be fully present for my client. I have had clients who have been distracted occasionally by their phone, but honestly, not much. You know, they really tend to really engage in the conversation. I think they yeah. value the coaching
the awareness.
And what they're getting out
yeah.
of it.
Well, they're there for
the
mindfulness, so maybe yeah. they made a decision to...
Well, yeah. and the coaching that I do, you know, I incorporate mindfulness, but I you know, have a couple of different coaching certifications. I'm a certified positive psychology coach, and I'm a certified co-active coach through CTI. But I bring in the mindfulness work because of my yoga and meditation
background yeah.
and some of the mindfulness work that I've done too.
Tara?
And, yeah, and I was just going to say, you mentioned about the phone being a physical, you know, sort of thing. It absolutely is, because think of how we use our phones too. We typically hold them down low by our waist and angle our heads downward. And as soon as you're doing that, you are putting a kink in your windpipe, the thing that's supplying air to your brain, and you develop what's called forward head posture, which really does contribute to nighttime breathing problems overall. So it absolutely affects us in the mental realm and in the physical, and your sleep is going to be affected. And then everything's bad from there.
I yeah, never thought sure. about it from a
right,
posture
no,
point of view,
absolutely.
But so true.
Me
Looks
too.
Like you want to add something, Jen.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that, you know, when I was responding, I was speaking specifically to a one-on-one coaching session, but the technology in general in life, in our world, absolutely you're not present. You're very disconnected.
Yeah.
So I would
agree.
It is difficult, and we could talk about this for a long time, but I want to just tie it into what you were doing. I know that I went for some vocal therapy because of a sinus condition, and the vocal therapist told me that she had someone whose girlfriend was way taller than he was, and they had their monitor to a height that was good for her, and he was lifting his head up too much, and his voice was suffering. Just because of the posture, so certainly the looking down. And when we do voiceover work, when we have short scripts, we hold them at eye level. We don't hold them down here because it changes your airway. So,
oh my goodness.
very interesting
yeah,
stuff.
Very.
We are about to take a short break again in the podcast. It'll be very short with some pretty music. And if you're listening to us on air, thank you. And we'll be back after some words from some of the people who make this show possible. I'm Randy Kay with Diana Hall, Nikki Tombolides. This is The Life Talk Show. We'll be right back with Tara and Jen to talk more about breath, keys to a better sleep and a more mindful and fulfilling life. Welcome back to The Life Talk Show, conversations to enrich and empower your life. Our topic today, breath, keys to a better sleep, a more mindful and fulfilling life. Our guests are Tara Clancy, known as O2 Tara, for O2 for oxygen, not 02, and Jennifer Rodriguez, who is, so many certifications, I can't even begin. Positive psychology, she's a coach, she talks about mindfulness. So we're having a fascinating time and learning so much about breathing and mindfulness. So, Nikki, you have a question for Tara?
I wanted to ask Tara if she can give us a couple of tools to help our breathing. now that we know we have a problem.
Especially nighttime breathing.
At least I do.
Exactly. So we need usable tools, Tara.
Yes. Go for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Make it quick.
Quick fix.
Okay, everybody ready?
Quick fix.
All right, we're ready.
Just take one of these. No, just kidding. We wish it were that easy.
Yeah, right.
But there is a fantastic exercise. We talked a lot about the mouth breathing and how it's over-breathing. So if you're over-breathing, what is the natural thing that would correct it? Well, sort of under-breathing. And so I like to call it LILO breathing, and the LILO stands for less in, less often. And here's how you do it. You sit down, you sit straight up in a chair.
Let's do it. Yeah. If you're listening, you can do it now too.
You know, a nice straight back.
Can they do it if they're driving, or is that bad?
Well, you could certainly.
Okay.
Right. Don't close your eyes.
Yeah, don't close your eyes.
you always should be sitting straight up even when you're driving, because that allows your diaphragm to move. But basically, you just pay attention to your breath for about 10 or 15 seconds, and you want to notice yourself moving primarily from your belly. You don't want to be using your upper chest muscles for all your breathing, because that means you're in a fight or flight stage. So you're just noticing that your belly is moving, and after you've done that for about 10 or 15 breaths and gotten the rhythm, then what you want to do is to start to do the less in, less often. So the next breath that you're going to take will come in just a little bit less, take in just a little bit less than you normally would. And then let that out and wait an extra moment before you take your next breath in.
And this is all nasal, right?
Yes.
All in and out through your
absolutely
nose.
All nasal breathing.
And you said 10 or 15 breaths or 10
in
or 15 seconds.
In the beginning, 10 or 15 breaths just to sort of focus yourself. And then you start to reduce the breathing less in and less often. And actually, if you find that your nose is too stuffy to allow you to nose breathe, there's an excellent video on my website called the Nose Unblocking exercise, and it is phenomenal. I lived with sinus infections for years and years and relied on this to help me. It's fabulous.
I need that desperately. Okay.
Yeah. And so then once you've gone through that, you will find it, it brings you to a relaxed state, and you will feel peaceful. And so this is a great exercise to do to offset any over-breathing you were doing during the day. When I leave here after all this talking we're doing, I'm going to do LILO breathing to make up for all this mouth breathing. And this is also an excellent thing to do right before bed, because it gets you into what we call the rest and digest nervous system.
So, Tara, how long we're going to breathe from our tummy?
Always, right?
Yeah. So here we're talking
the
about
exercise.
Yeah. So there's different breathing. You know, normally we talk about horizontal versus vertical breathing, right? So when you're breathing horizontally, you're expanding the whole sides, the back, the belly, all of that. If you find yourself breathing vertically, where your chest muscles are moving, not the belly, that is very unhealthy, and you don't want to be relying on the chest muscles.
Yeah, I can see your chest right now, Nikki. Your net chest is rising.
I do the same thing.
Yeah.
Somebody said, like, pregnant, not pregnant. Pregnant, not pregnant. Like, really let your belly go out without moving your chest at all.
Yes. Yeah. And so you'll see, I mean, it would take us about 20 minutes to do this whole exercise, so we're not going to do the whole thing, but that's the idea. You will be surprised at how restful and relaxed relaxing. I have a download on my website that has this breathing exercise in it. You can just go to o2tara.org/talk, T-A-L-K. And then you can get this, and it really is phenomenal. I've had so many people say, I did this before bed, and I had the best night of sleep I've had in a long time.
Wow, that's
okay.
Amazing.
So, Jen, you had mentioned that you're a life coach, and you're certified Kripalu yoga teacher, place I would love to get to at some point.
We'll do a show from there someday.
Yeah, that would be heaven.
Fun.
Yeah. You're a Chopra meditation teacher and a divine sleep yoga nidra teacher. Yeah. Since we emphasize sleep and breathing, can you talk to us about the divine sleep yoga nidra practice?
Sure. So the divine sleep yoga nidra is actually a guided meditation. So oftentimes, if you are a yoga teacher, as I am, I'll do a little bit of yoga, gentle yoga, before for the guided meditation. But it's a guided meditation, and it is lovely. They call it the sleep yoga, which every time I say that to people, they go, "Oh, that sounds good."
Sign me up.
And it is. It's delicious. So, But it, essentially what it does is it gets you into your parasympathetic nervous system. It gets you out of that fight, flight, or freeze, which, you know, Tara right. talks about as well. And, you know, helps your overall health. And it's just wonderful to do.
Is there, how would somebody learn more about that besides contacting you for coaching? I mean, is there information on your website or?
Well, Jennifer Reese is, she's oftentimes up at Kripalu. She is runs the Divine Sleep Yoga Nidra teacher training program. That is who I trained with. So if you go to her website, you'll probably find quite
so
a bit
what
of
is the one thing that you can tell us? Is there something, one thing that stands out on the Nidra situation? Can we do it fast?
it's not,
take a pill.
So it's not fast, no. And again, you know, it's this whole thing about letting go. And mm-hmm. I think
yeah,
with
letting go.
The mindfulness, the yoga, the yoga nidra, the meditation, it all can be, you know, kind of grouped together into this idea of letting go.
Hmm. Yeah, and I think it that goes so beautifully with what we're talking about, because if you can get to a point of breathing better throughout the day, you are going to sleep better when you have to breathe through the night as well. And when you have slept well and you wake up feeling refreshed, you are ready for what the day will bring you. You can be more mindful of what's going on. You can be more graceful in your interactions, more awareness. And so really the key is do what you need to do to let your body and your brain sleep at night. And then you're in a position to just have a better...
Do you know, I learned something so important today, but that I never realized that my breathing all day affects my night breathing.
Sure.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Thanks to Tara and Jen.
Because I guess it's what you get used to doing. It becomes your habit,
well,
right?
It's interesting, too, because what do we call the nighttime breathing problem? Sleep apnea. And people say, what does that even mean, right? But so apnea, literally, if we can geek out here for a minute on Greek.
Well, I'm
yeah,
Greek.
Well, you can. Yeah, there you go. Sorry.
It's all Greek to me.
But it really means without the lung, meaning no breathing. But do we walk around saying, gee, I wonder what sleep apnea means? No, we don't normally. We take what our doctor tells us
right.
at face value, and so we don't really think about what that term means. But so it's not really the sleep apnea. It's the breathing, and the problem is it's disrupting the sleep, you know? And so
wow.
we can really get to a better place if we look at it in that way. Once we identify the problem, you know, it's daunting to realize all this is going on and maybe your breathing has to change. But you can say to yourself, hey, I haven't felt like I used to in years, but maybe this is it. And maybe I can become more aware of my breathing and I can begin to make some small changes and start to feel so much better.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd like to ask, we have about 6 or 7 minutes left. And so I would like to ask each of you two questions related. One, what difference has all this study made in your lives, your personal lives, and how are you passing it on to children, specifically yours, but other children as well? We it's been a very adult conversation here, but so I'd like to, I guess whoever wants to start can go first.
Well, I mean, I can tell you that finding out about this that I had a nighttime breathing problem gave a whole new context for me to look at my whole life. I mean,
really,
yes, because I've been dealing with this since I was a tiny kid, but had no idea. So I have been able to look at myself and everything that I have done and do in a completely different way. And it really has allowed me to say, wow, you know, it's very empowering, because all of a sudden when you understand where the different challenges that you've had come from, and you can say, oh, I can't see what has been driving it, it puts you in a completely different position to
and
to
complete
start to work
different
on
path.
It. Yeah. Exactly. And so, and also same thing for my kids, you know, if you see my kids, they look exactly like me. So when I found out about having this problem myself, I said, wait a second, these guys are gearing up to go through the exact same thing unless I do something about it now, which I did. And so they really are in a much better position. Like I said to you, my daughter is like, oh, mouth breather and all this. And you know what she'll say?
Shame on you.
Yeah. And she knows what makes her congested. We have food sensitivities, and she knows having dairy will make her congested. So she'll say to me, you know, I think I'm going to just try and have dairy once a week now. Just leave it as a treat.
And so she's how old, your daughter? So we have context.
She's 10.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's building that awareness. A very early age. Yeah, it's absolutely the awareness thing.
Amazing. Jen, how about you?
Let's see. So I think it's made me a better parent. For starters.
Okay. And your kids are?
I have a daughter who's 15.
Oh, 15.
Yes.
Okay.
So having a 15-year-old, you know, mm-hmm. it definitely helps me to be a better parent.
Right. Good luck with that.
Mindful.
Yeah.
More relaxed. And the other thing about it is mindfulness really cultivates an ability to have more of an emotional regulation. So, you know, I'm not as reactive. I'm more responsive to things, and being able to practice that myself and struggle with it myself, right? All of us as parents have those moments where we're more reactive than responsive.
Absolutely.
But struggling with that myself has taught me how to kind of help my daughter to struggle with emotional things that she's dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Because our life is emotional, right?
It is.
And something's always coming
Absolutely.
At us. And it helps us to regulate that.
Absolutely. Can you just elaborate a little bit on reactive versus responsive?
Sure.
To some people, they may sound like the same thing, but they're not, right?
No. Okay. So when you are reacting to something, it's an emotional response. Mm-hmm. It's just an immediate, you know, kind of emotional outburst that you might have.
Okay. You may not even be aware of why you're reacting. It's like an automatic, kind of like the amygdala makes it happen.
Right. So there's a term, amygdala hijack.
I love that term.
Right.
It's when the brownie's there and you know you shouldn't have it, but you eat it.
Exactly.
That's an amygdala hijack.
That's
right. Yes. Have you ever said something, you know, I mean, it's a simple question of, have you ever said something that you regret or that you wish you hadn't said?
Mm-hmm.
That's reaction. Being responsive is more mindful. You're responding in a more mindful way so that later on you're not
apologizing.
But I think, you know, also with the mindfulness, I've used mindful self-compassion a lot with myself
mm-hmm.
and with my daughter. And it's this idea of not having to be perfect and really just, you know, giving yourself compassion around that and also having compassion for others around that. And I find that kids really put a lot of pressure on themselves these days.
Yes.
Sure do.
Plus,
academically and all kinds of things. There's a lot of anxiety around that.
Yep. Yes.
So really, you know, teaching them to use self-compassion and say, I don't have to be perfect.
Right.
It's okay. I'm human.
That's great.
Been helpful.
So that's a good thing.
I can give you a funny example of this whole idea of just helping my kids to build awareness, because I too have a 15-year-old, and I agree with you completely. This has made the difference in some instances. But with my 10-year-old in particular, she came home one day from school, opened the door, threw her backpack down, walked in, and I just thought, whoa, what is going on here? So I didn't say anything. I just let her do, and I figured, let me just, you know, watch this. A few minutes later, she came out, got something out of the cabinet, sat down, ate it quickly, and she came over and she gave me a hug and she said, boy, was I hangry before.
So, self-awareness.
Now, if I weren't being mindful, I might have said, hey, and reacted to her, but I didn't. And she's completely aware. She did what she needed to do. And, you know,
center herself.
Right,
yep,
up, and then got something to eat, and she was able to come over and apologize. So having mindfulness made a huge difference.
Yeah. Right. Very interesting. And, of course, you know, we could do a whole show on this topic as well. I know, you know, having the lovely position of a Gima, Grandma, Grammy, whatever I am, to these three little girls who... two little girls and a little boy who live very close to me. I'm fortunate enough to be an everyday influence. And I'm like, oh, I can experiment again with the mistakes I made with my own children. But I'm always working with a three-year-old. I'm just saying, what might happen? Let's just talk about what might happen. And my daughter's great with it. She's like, what lesson did you learn? But we always give these the scenarios. If the ball went into the street, what would you do? Because they don't have the reasoning yet. And if we can kind of train them to think that way. Anyway, believe it or not, we're pretty much out of time, but we have about a minute for each of you to give us, first of all, your contact information and where people can get in touch with you and any final thoughts that you might have. So Tara, we'll start with you, and then Jen will go with you, and then each of the hosts get to say something.
Yeah.
Because it's our show.
Something.
Okay, Tara.
Yeah, so what I've been doing is taking all this complicated information and making it into really user-friendly information for parents and caregivers. So I have a couple of guides, my O2 Tara guide series that really help you look at kids and see if they may be struggling with a nighttime breathing problem. And I'm also working on a book. I've interviewed about 20 of like the real most prominent physicians on sleep problems, and that will be, I'll have that in September, and you can get all that information at o2tara.org, and the download, if you put /talk, it has some of the things that I mentioned here today.
Awesome, thank you. Jen, final thoughts. Thanks, and contact Sarah. Information.
Well, I hope that you know, what I've said today helps people to be a little more self-compassionate to begin with. And my website is www.thefulfillinglife.com, and I have a free download on thefulfillinglife.com/mindfulnessgift. If you'd like to
get thefulfillinglife-mindfulnessgift.com, so it's like a separate website.
It's okay. A separate website, and you can download a Be Mindful journal to get you started.
That's wonderful. And she brought us a sample. So final thoughts, Diana?
So Deepak Chopra reminds us that our minds influence the key activity of the brain, which then influences everything: perception, cognition, thoughts and feelings, personal relationships. They're all a projection of you.
Nikki?
Love and forgive yourself and practice mindfulness, because self-compassion is so important.
Awesome. And I will share, I don't even know if it's true, but I was told by my vocal therapist that 3 mindful breaths can reset your nervous system. And I don't know how scientific it is, but I love the thought of it, and it certainly can make you more mindful and calm you down. So Tara and Jen, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.
I'm Randy Kay with Diana Hall, Nikki Tombolides. Conversations to enrich and empower your life. Thank you for joining us, The Life Talk Show.
You've been listening to The Life Talk Show. If you have an idea for a future topic, would like to be a guest or a sponsor of our show, or just tell us what you think, please email us at info@thelifetalkshow.com. Our Twitter handle is @LifeTalkShow, and our Facebook page is The Life Talk Show. Sharing ideas for meaning, joy, and success. The Life Talk Show with Randy, Diana, and Nikki. The Life Talk Show. Join us.